Thank you, Graham, and good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. When I get a speaking assignment, probably like all the other speakers, the first thing we do is pray and ask God to help us be able to speak the thing that will help you. It's interesting that it ends up helping us probably more, but that's kind of the way things go. I was out for my early morning walk. Shirley and I normally walk quite early in the morning before the sun comes up. And one morning she couldn't come. I think she wasn't feeling well, and I was out by myself. I knew I had a sermonette coming up, and so I was walking along thinking, what am I going to talk about? I don't know what to say. And I started asking God, would you please put into my heart what you want me to say? And I'm not going to say that I heard God say, but it kind of like just came into my mind, this, what you're doing is what I want you to talk about. And it's not about walking at 4 o'clock in the morning. It's about prayer. So I immediately said, thank you, Father God. There's a scripture that we used to hear quite often in days gone by in the King James Version, Romans 12:12. Romans 12:12. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. That's the King James Version. That word in the Greek is proskartereo, and it means to adhere to and be devoted to and to continue steadfastly. So how important is it for us to be instant in prayer? I really, like you that have granddaughters, I love my granddaughters. They're awesome. So we went to see their little winter program a couple of weeks ago, Shirley and I, and we were in the big auditorium there in preschool, and it was filled with moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas, and it was getting kind of stuffy in there, so I stepped outside, and I was getting a breath of fresh air, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, I heard this, Grandpa! And my granddaughter, Callie, comes running up, puts her hands around me. That was a beautiful moment. She didn't have any hesitation. She just rushed up, you know, saw me, gave me a big hug. So we are God's little children. And we don't need to make a reservation. We don't need an appointment to pray to our God. But we do need the attribute described in the following verse. Luke 18:16. So people were bringing their children for Jesus to bless them, and the disciples were going, no. Come on, let's keep these kids quiet. But he said to them, Jesus called to them and said, let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for such is the kingdom of God. That attitude of a little child who doesn't have any baggage. They don't have anything that's holding them back. We are so blessed to be in a relationship with the very God who made the universe, that, and we can talk to him anytime we want. In a way, it's like my little granddaughter did when she rushed up and said, Grandpa! We can do that when we talk to God, too. I love you, Father, God, anytime. It's amazing that God has the capacity. You know, all of us in this room could say the same thing at the same time, and God would be able to comprehend it. It said in Psalm 119:164 that David prayed 7 times a day. And then also in Psalm 73:28, David knew, he knew this, but it's good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all your works. I'm sure that's what we all want to do too. We want to proclaim God's works to the whole world. You know, prayer is really a personal thing, extremely personal, and we all express ourselves differently. And I was kind of reluctant to even talk about this next paragraph here, but I'll just tell you how I pray. So, like, for example, last night, in the middle of the night, because I'm, you know, a little anxious, I couldn't sleep. My mind was churning, you know, what do I do if I do this? What happens there? You know, so I prayed. So, you know, in the middle of the night, you can pray and ask God to help you. So I eventually calmed down. But generally speaking, the first thing I do in the morning when I put my feet over on the side of the bed, thank you, God, praise you. So that's the first prayer of the day. And then when we're out walking or before we go, and when we come home, we'll have our Bible study and our formal prayer of the day. And then throughout the day, if we have a problem, you know, with something, with family, which we seem to have some issues with some family members lately, we pray and ask for God's guidance. And throughout the day, and then each meal, and then before we go to bed, and I'm sure all of you, I hope all of you are doing the same basic things. So if you are, we're a praying people, which is really an awesome thing. So maybe you don't feel, you know, real confident. Maybe you haven't been praying as much as you should have. Or maybe you don't feel worthy of God listening to your prayers. We still have human nature. Will God hear and answer my prayer, even though I struggle with human nature? James 5:17-18. Here's another scripture we're probably familiar with. James 5:17-18. Elijah, I'll just interject. Elijah was an awesome person. But Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. He was like us in that way. He had a human nature like we do that he struggled with all the time. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Now, I've never had an experience like that, but I have had experiences like asking God's help for an idea, or even a parking place, or maybe my child is sick, or, you know, and had answered prayers. I'd like to tell you a story. It's a true story. I'll just read it to you. The relentless sun hung low in the sky, its rays slanting through a haze of dust that seemed to cling to everything like an unshakable shadow. A middle-aged couple, worn thin by years of struggle and weeks of travel, slowed their buckboard wagon to a stop in front of an abandoned schoolhouse. The wooden structure stood weathered and skeletal, its windows vacant and its roof sagging, but it offered a brief respite from the unforgiving road. The woman, her bonnet streaked with dust, climbed down gingerly. The journey from Kansas to California had been grueling. Each mile westward had chipped away at their strength, and now they were nearly out of money, food, and hope. She leaned against the schoolhouse wall, closing her eyes for a moment to rest, while John, or her husband, stayed near the wagon, adjusting the reins on the weary mule. The crunch of hoofbeats on the dirt road startled the man. He looked up to see someone riding a sturdy bay horse approaching. The rider was a tall figure, clad in faded hat and patched shirt. His face was sunburned but kind, and he raised his hand in greeting as he reined his horse near the wagon. "Afternoon," the man said, his voice steady. "Afternoon," the husband replied, tipping his hat. They exchanged pleasantries. their conversation drifting into talk of the land and the struggles of the times. The man introduced himself as a rancher who lived a mile up the road, and he mentioned he was looking for someone to help with odd jobs around his property, mending fences, repairing the barn, and tending to the animals. The man's heart stirred at the mention of work. "Oh, I'm a carpenter by trade," he said, and a Baptist minister, though lately I've had more practice building things. So the man nodded thoughtfully. He said, "Well, a carpenter, well, that's something I could use. Come on by and we'll see about getting you started." So with the tip of his hat, the rancher turned his horse and rode off into the fading light. The woman emerged from the schoolhouse just as the rancher disappeared over the hill. She looked at her husband, concern etched into her face. "Who was that?" she asked. "A rancher from up the road a piece," the man said, his voice carrying a mixture of disbelief and gratitude. "He said he's got work for me, odd jobs fixing things around his place." His wife's hand flew to her mouth, her eyes filling with tears. "Oh, my dear," she whispered, her voice trembling. "While I was resting in there, I was praying that God would send us a way to get through this. And now," he stepped closer, placing his hands gently on her shoulders. "And now he has," he said softly. The two stood there in silence for a moment, the enormity of their answered prayer washing over them. And with renewed energy, they climbed back into the wagon. As they started up the road towards the ranch, the weight of the past week seemed to lift. The dust still swirled, the sun still burned, and the road was just as long, but their hearts were lighter, and they smiled at one another, faith rekindled by a simple encounter and the unshakable belief that God had heard their prayers. Hope, once a flickering ember, now burned brightly in their hearts as they pressed forward into the promise of a better tomorrow. And there was a better tomorrow for those people, because those people were my great-grandma and grandpa. The story is embellished a little bit, but the story was told to me by my 90-year-old cousin on her 90th birthday, and she was part of that family, the Markham family. They came, Dust Bowl migrants, coming west like so many people did then during the Depression, came out to California. They worked in the oil industry and aerospace, and were fortunate to have come to the LA area instead of Modesto or someplace like that. So anyway, that was my my family. And then my Juanita was my cousin's name, and she was married to a man named Charles Underwood, who was a Baptist minister. And my parents were married in the church that he pastored, which was the Wrigley Heights Baptist Church in Long Beach, not too far from here. So, brethren, be instant in prayer. Pray with proskuneo. It means to adhere to, be devoted to continue steadfastly, not in a childish way, but with a child, but childlike, with a pure heart. It's the secret to a loving relationship with God and a beautiful relationship that will last for all eternity.